Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Buck Sexton Show. On this episode, we're going to talk about women, women in sports, and all the things going on right now with the current Biden administration position on some of this stuff, the media's positioning on it, and so much more. We're joined by our friend Charlie Arnold. She is a Fox News contributor and a host at OutKick and formerly of ESPN, which is something we shall certainly talk about. Charlie, first time on the program. Great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And I also have to give you a little bit of credit because I think you were the only person in the past 6 weeks since I started at Fox, except for Clay Travis, who has said my name correctly. It is. It's hilarious how many different variations I've gotten coming onto each and every program. I get Carly, I get Arno, Arnot. It's just, it's all over the place. So thank you for saying it correctly.
I do what I can. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do the whole French thing with your name because I don't know, you know, Arno, isn't that like a automaker too, right?
Is
that the guy who owns... I think he owns all the fancy sunglasses in Louis Vuitton. Isn't that Henri Arnault? Anyway, you're not that. You're somebody else. Let's get into it. ESPN. So you were at ESPN. ESPN has a reporter who goes by the name Sam Ponder, who has made the claim that talking about fairness when it comes to biological males playing in women's sports is ridiculous. Tell us about this one's gotten a lot of traction online. As a former ESPN alumna, what do you think about this one?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm proud of Sam for standing up for what she believes in, even though she knows it's not the popular thing to do over at ESPN, nor the popular belief to have at ESPN. Although I will say that coming from ESPN to OutKick, which wasn't such a, I guess, assumed move on my end or one that people expected or that has gotten a lot of applause, there are several people who have quietly messaged me since I made the transition saying, I'm so excited for you. This was an awesome move. Thank you so much for putting yourself in the position where you can be the voice that we do not have. So while I say her opinion is not popular, I mean that publicly it's not popular. I think a lot of people realize that having biological men competing against women is absolutely absurd and under no, you know, light should it be happening. But yes, Sam is something that she's been just, I think, a third time saying something about it. Her, along with Sage Steele, are really the only two people over at ESPN that have publicly said anything about this. But Sam knew what she was getting into. She's gotten called a bigot and probably far worse than the other two times that she commented on the same issue. Commenting on her support for Riley Gaines is where it all began.
Right.
And this time, you know, similarly commenting, and people just love to be crazy right now, even though there are so many people, like I said, who realize.
Right. I think I was reading before from, so because I was actually confused even about who was accusing whom of what here. Nancy Armour of USA yes. Today wrote this piece, what ESPN Sam Ponder calls fairness is plain old bigotry. And I think it's so, I think it is so interesting to see that when you look in the comments of these things, when you look at the comments of this piece, the comments on Twitter, it's really illuminating because you'll see people who say, and you know, just like you can tell they're everyday folks. I'm not talking about blue checks with, you know, 100,000 followers or whatever. They'll just say, yeah, if I were playing in a peewee football league and stiff arming all the little kids into the ground and like trampling them as a 30-year-old guy, let's say, because I identify as an 8-year-old, everybody would understand that there's a huge biological advantage to that. But we are really to believe now that women are not disadvantaged by playing against men. I found this fascinating because you were at the sports network really before ESPN. I refuse to believe that ESPN anchors actually believe that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that they believe what they're saying. So what's going on?
Well, it's interesting because there was a new development later on in the day. I want to say it was either yesterday or today. Sarah Spain, who's also a reporter over at ESPN, who is pretty well known for her ultra liberal takes and views. She actually liked the publicizing of Nancy's USA Today article. She liked the article in which Sam Ponder was called a bigot. So now here we have one ESPN personality hating on another ESPN personality, which is really looked down upon at the company, as you can imagine. So I'm wondering how this is going to be dealt with because, you know, this is another ESPN employee essentially confirming and standing by this USA Today author saying, yeah, Sam Ponder's a bigot for what she said. But I think you're right. I think the majority of people do not believe. But here's the thing. You don't hear many people talk about it. So it's like, you know, they don't really believe what they're saying. Most people don't talk about it. So they're not really saying anything about it. So they're not really going against what they believe. And they just don't comment on it because they realize if they do, they'll end up like Sam Ponder and be called a bigot by the masses of people who are just crazy these days.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, what happened to sports? I know that's a broad question, but you know, I was even telling Clay, because Clay always, you know, you and I both know Clay well, he jokes around with me all the time. He says, well, Buck's not really into sports. And I always say to him, like, I actually love sports. And you should ask Clay what happened when we played ping pong recently. I love sports. Yeah, you know, guy stuff. And I played growing up and I played, you know, different. And then I watched sports, too. I grew up watching the New York Knicks. I had an uncle who had season tickets a few years to New York Knicks. So I would go with him to lots of games. And it just, to me, it's just in the last, I don't know, you call it 10 or 15 years, maybe, but certainly the last 10 years, it just kind of went crazy. And now all of a sudden there are all these athletes and these leagues, too, that are taking very political positions. And I just can't stomach it anymore. Like, what happened? Where did this all come from, as you see it?
Yeah, I think there's like a very small group of activists, you know, the woke mob, if you will, that are screaming so loudly about everything that it's like, just because they're the loudest ones in society right now, they are controlling the narrative. And we have a lot of people who have already infiltrated these mega corporations, these sporting organizations, who are also ultra woke, who are now choosing to ignore consumer bases, ignore fan bases, and choosing instead to follow along with a certain narrative that's being pushed by this small group of activists. And that's their goal right now. That's their priority. And you see it in the NBA. You know, we've seen it for a while now, especially when COVID hit in the bubble. You know, we saw all these athletes, instead of wearing their names on their jerseys, pick like social justice phrases, which a lot of people were like, wait, what's going on here? I'm here to watch basketball. Like, I'm not here to talk politics or think about politics or think about the pandemic that we're going through. This is my escape. And now you just saw lately with the Dodgers, they had disinvited the, what was it called? Right. Sisters of the Perpetual Indulgence, this group of twisted trannies who were just anti-Christian and anti-Catholic. And they got so much backlash that they decided to walk it back and say, hey, never mind, you can come. And not only are we re-inviting you, we're going to bestow you with our Hero and Courage Award of the night. Instead, you know, of paying attention to one of their biggest fan bases, which is the Latinos. A lot of them come to the games and many of them are Christian. And it's, you know, they put their priorities forward and now they're having to walk it back a little bit even more and making Clayton Kershaw the poster child to do so, because now he's announced, oh, hey, the Dodgers are going to be having now our Christian night, which, you know, they claimed they were going to have anyways, but now they've just reintroduced it sooner, probably because they got even more backlash. Again, it's all just very wild.
So I want to ask you, we'll come to this in a second. I got to give a word to our sponsor for a moment, Charlie. But this league where people slap each other, I want you to explain to me what is going on here. And is this going to be something that becomes, because we'll get to this. You have to explain to me what's going on with the slap league, which I'm told is a thing and people are watching, and, you know, it's the sports world. We'll get to this in a second. But for everybody out there, you got to have life insurance, especially if you're relying on people, or rather people are relying on you rather, to be there for them. And look, I got married earlier this year. I got to think about, you know, the family going forward that I'm going to try to build, want to make sure everything's okay. And I know it's never like a fun thing to think about, but life insurance is just something that it's responsible to have and to get in place. Now, you want to future-proof your family's finances. That's where Policy Genius comes in. Policy Genius was built to modernize the modern life insurance industry. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you and not the insurance companies. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find it and buy it. Go online to policygenius.com. That's right, policygenius.com, and get set up today. All right, so I remember in the early days of the UFC, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I, with a bunch of friends, remember they used to have like these pay-per-view events. You'd pay like $80 or $100, whether it was a boxing match or whatever. We did one of these pay-per-view things for, it wasn't called the UFC at the time. I think it was, I forget what the name of the league, but it was one of these like ultimate fighting situations.
Yeah.
That's now become a multi-billion-dollar business, right? That's become a massive, massive sports enterprise. Is Dana White, Clay told me the other day, Dana White is involved as well with this slap fighting thing. Tell everybody about this and then explain to me, like, is this a thing that could become, is this all a joke to people or are they serious?
No, like, oh my gosh. Listen, there's some people who joke around about it because it is in some ways hard to take seriously. You have grown men who are just allowing them, like, you know, standing there in front of another grown man who are, I mean, these guys are big men too, in a lot of cases. And they just slap the crap out of each other. Like, it's intense. It's, I'm not talking just a slap, you know, of a little bit of a reprimand like you used to get from your mother. I'm talking guys, grown men, 200 plus pound guys getting knocked out with one slap. It is crazy. So to answer your question, Dana White actually saw the popularity that this sport was garnering, because power slap, which is what the UFC is calling it, is not a new sport. Slap fighting has actually been around for a long time, but predominantly was popular in Eastern European countries and was really making headway on social media and places like YouTube. So it was getting millions of views per clip. So Dana's like, why don't we have this in the US? So he got it commissioned. So now instead of having, you know, these, you know, kind of, I guess, ramshackle fight events, you know, for these slap fighters, you know, all over the world, these are sanctioned events by the Nevada Athletic Commission. There's referees, there's a doctor on hand. Like it's just like the UFC. It's taken very seriously. They're trying to do it as safely as possible. And yeah, they have full on events. Rumble is their broadcast partner. And listen, Dana has passed along the numbers. The numbers speak for themselves. People are watching and it's making a lot of money. People love it. So I can only imagine Dana White, as you know, a very intelligent man. When he really sinks his teeth into something, there's no way you can tell him no at that point. So he's committed to this and there's already like plans laid out for the future next couple years. They're going to go to Abu Dhabi, I think later this year for another, like to find another crop of slap fighters. And then I think hold their next live event there.
It's honestly so crazy. But like, clearly if you get slapped during Power Slap and you get knocked out, I assume you lose. But is it like by decision if you don't get knocked out? How many slaps? Like, just explain the rules to me a little bit.
Okay, so it's three rounds. Unless it's a title fight, then it's five rounds. And there's a coin toss to determine who will slap first, because if you win the coin toss, you will choose to slap first. Because there's a, you know, you'd think there'd be an advantage there. So yeah, it's the guy stand. There's a podium in between them. Two guys standing on either side. There's the striker and there's the defender. So the striker will, you know, he has to say if he's going to slap on one, two, or three. So he starts by lining his hand up on the other guy's cheek. Then he winds back. And some of these windups, Buck, are wild. Oh, I mean, they get low. They're bringing it back. Like, you have former baseball players. You got some MMA dudes. They know, you know, they have their own tactics. So they will wind up and they'll say one, two, and then on three, if they've declared, you know, right hand on three, three is when they'll strike. And I'm telling you, like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's a lot of core strength. It's a lot of biceps, a lot of shoulder, a lot of back. And I mean, they will rock each other. And the guy who's on defense, I mean, some of these, the way they absorb some of these shots, it's unbelievable. Because I know me, if I were standing up there, I'd be dead. Right, that's it. I'm down. You'll never see or hear from me again. I probably have, you know, issues moving forward. But yeah, these guys know what they're getting themselves into, and then they'll turn right back around. I think it's 30 seconds later they have to recover. Unless there was a foul, they get some extra time. It's their turn to deliver, and whoever either knocks the other person out will win, or it'll go to a decision at the end.
It's like I can't believe it, but I guess I can at some level. Some people, I think, might say
that. You'll have to watch. There's tons of clips online right now. You got to check out a few there.
Oh no, I've seen one or two. Like, it's come across my Instagram, you know, like suggested, and I've watched one or two. And they've got some of these guys. I mean, these like big, sort of like beefy looking Russian guy that like slaps another dude in the face and knocks him out cold. And I'm just, good heavens. Some people might say that Charlie, this is how civilization starts to crumble, but that's a whole other
you know what, civilization is already crumbling in many other ways that I find way more absurd than this. So who really cares at this point?
Yeah, no, it's a remarkable thing to see. We're going to come back here in a second, and I wanted to ask you what you think about all the stuff as somebody who works. Wait, does Disney own ESPN?
Yes.
Ah,
yeah, oh yeah, there, now you're catching on, huh?
We're gonna talk some Disney in a second. We're gonna power slap Disney together. It's gonna be fun. But look, everybody out there, if you feel like you'd lose a power slap competition just with yourself, you know, then you should get Chalk. That's not the best transition I've ever made, but you guys get the idea. Chalk is amazing. If you want to feel fantastic, you want to have extra energy and focus every day, Chalk produces high-quality nutritional supplements, none more popular than the Male Vitality Stack. This combination of everyday supplements is designed to supply your body with nutrients to fuel energy, focus, and stamina. The leading all-natural ingredient has been researched to show serious improvement in testosterone within a guy's body, up some 20% in 3 months' time. You feel it as it happens, this increase in testosterone, which is a great driver of energy. Look, Chalk is where you go. Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code. You'll get 35% off any Chalk subscription for life. 35% off. It's a great deal. Use my name, Buck. That's B-U-C-K when you go to Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com. So, Disney. And
also, I need to tell you that was actually an excellent transition because before they slap, they put their hands in the chalk. So there you go.
Ah, look at that.
Nice job.
Thank you. I do what I can. I was honestly thinking before, how much money would someone have to pay me? Because I bet this is going to come up and be a thing too, because, you know, getting in the ring, it feels like, I mean, if you get in the ring, let's say with like Mike Tyson in his prime or something, I mean, a couple of shots from him and you could, yeah, it could get like really, really bad, obviously, for like, for an average Joe. I mean, you could get, you know, you could snap your neck back, brain damage, really, really bad. Okay. So they don't want to do that. Not get in the room with Mike Tyson or any heavyweight pro fighter in his prime. But how many guys out there would consider taking a slap, open hand slap, if the money were right? And I was trying to think to myself, how much money would it take? And it would be an astronomical, astronomical sum to take a shot. Yeah. For one of these guys. Well, you have to wonder. I mean, I remember in the early days, and we'll get to Disney in a second, but in the early days earlier days, I should say, like maybe mid 2000s of UFC, I think around 2010, 2011, maybe was the first time this person appeared on the scene. But I used to say with the transgender stuff, how long, it's one thing to allow a trans, you know, trans female to run against other women and like win the gold medal. I mean, I think that's gross. It's wrong. Riley Gaines, you know, has become a friend of the show. And I'm sure you know Riley, you know, swimming against somebody and losing, that's crappy. That stinks. Having a male that fights you as a female UFC fighter is dangerous. And there was that Fallon Fox individual. I don't know if he's still fighting, but he was fighting women as a male in the cage, right? And that actually happened. So I think it's only a matter of time before you have some guy who weighs 300 pounds, has a wig and lipstick on, who says, I'm doing the female slap fight. Although I don't know if they're doing that yet, right? They haven't done women.
No. I don't think Dana White of all people has any plans on letting females and males compete against each other. He's on the same side as we're on. So
Fallon Fox then was not competing in UFC.
No, that was not a UFC event. That was another MMA promotion. I'm not exactly sure which one, but yeah, Dana White.
Not
under his watch.
I think he has too much respect for the game, honestly. Like, you know,
the advantage that men have, everyone realizes it. Just a lot of people want to, you know, turn a blind eye to it. But come on, it's individual sports is one thing, like you said, totally disgusting, gross, trampling on the rights of women, stealing opportunities. But we're going to not just hurt feelings aside. We're going to be talking about real injuries once it comes to contact sports, if we keep allowing this to slide.
Yeah. I've told people, I love playing tennis. And I've told you before, you can lose terribly in tennis and have a great time. I did a tiny bit of boxing when I was a kid. It is not fun when you lose. Losing in a box, when you get your ass laid out and you are on the canvas and you're like, this person is better, stronger, and faster than me. You're not like, that was fun, right? That was a good, that was a good session. So yeah, it would be the same thing, I assume, with UFC and Power Slap. All right, Disney, let's talk about this. I'm going to assume you have not seen the Little Mermaid remake where the Little Mermaid is black, but you may have seen the New York Times review, I think, of it, where they said that the movie needed more kink.
Weird thing to say. What a freaking weird thing to say. Who says that about a movie that is geared towards our children?
I don't know. That's what I'm like. What does that even mean? I asked Clay this the other day on radio. I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what it means.
You know what it means? It means that people are sick. I remember, I'll say, back in the day, remember Disney used to sneak in little weird sexual innuendos?
Was that urban legend or was that true?
It was real. I mean, okay, so I guess it's never been confirmed, obviously, by Disney whether or not the things that people claimed were hidden little sexual tidbits in fact that. But I remember there was a couple, like one in the Little Mermaid, where it was like one of the little underwater things or whatever, like one of the little creatures had like his little manhood like spinning around for like a little quick couple seconds, and I saw it. So it exists. But I don't know if it was like, maybe it was just like something that was flying around in front of him, or if it was actually, and then I know in Aladdin, there was some like line where he quickly says, Jasmine, take off your clothes. Like, but it's really hard to, oh, and one more in the Lion King, when he collapses into the dust, the word sex.
I saw that. There. Yes. That's real. I've seen that.
Okay,
too.
So if that's real, probably there are a few others that are real, which honestly, now as an adult, I appreciate a little hidden something for the adults. Sure. But not something that's so like, what's the word? Like outwardly, like geared towards children, like this, you know, columnist is insinuating, oh, there needs to be more kink. What do you mean more kink? I just don't understand. This feels like, you know, all the other corporations that are shoving all of this insanity into our faces and we have nothing to say about it. It just seems like now people are like, no, we need more of this. It has to happen. It's indoctrination, if you ask me.
Do you remember the head of content at Disney? The video was leaked. I think Chris Rufo initially got it and then shared it and it was all over the internet, where she said, I have a non-binary child and a pansexual child. Do you remember this came out? And I remember just sitting there and talking about this on the show.
Didn't you have three kids? Wasn't one non-binary? One was gay and one was pansexual. I think
it may actually have been all. I don't even remember. But I just remember, first of all, thinking that I have a pretty decent vocabulary, and legitimately took a step back and was like, I don't even know what pansexual is supposed to mean. I mean, I know what pan in the context of a Greek prefix is supposed to mean, but like pan, what is pansexual, right? I mean, there's bisexual, but what is pans? So. And as it was explained to me, it means now not only it's crazy. You're attracted to men and women who are cisgender, but you're also attracted sexually to non-binary.
I hate the word cisgender, by the way.
It's crazy.
Why do I have to be a cis female? I'm a female. There's no cis. Anyways, please continue.
Yeah, it's fine. But that just goes to, and the usage of language in this way is meant to be a signaling mechanism. It's meant to have people jumping through all these hoops to show their allegiance to the cause, and also to make other people, even sometimes subconsciously, submit, right? Like you start saying, I say this a lot. I mean, that's why I freak out about the pronoun thing.
Did you see Buck at Johns Hopkins, how they have now introduced a whole guidebook? They recently, there's like 50 or something like pronouns, like ones like XE, like how do you pronounce XE? What is, or F-A-E-R, like what does fair self mean? There's just so many now, and like people are expected to keep them straight and use them properly, or else you're seen as being impolite or.
It's an obedience test for a lot of people. For one thing, if you're willing to do all this or even try to do all of this, then you're telling the people in charge, so to speak, that, you know, you'll go along. And also it keeps all of the rest of us constantly in this state of, well, not that you and I care, but for other people, keeps them in a state of constant anxiety where they want the approval of the activists who are pushing this stuff because they don't want to be a bad person. They don't want to be called out for using the wrong pronoun or whatever it may be. But it does feel like, bringing it back to Disney, people, have you seen some of the polling, some of the numbers on this? People are pretty angry now that they get the sense that Disney is trying to indoctrinate their kids with all this. It's not even right to say it's sexual content. It's like bizarre alternative sexual content, like stuff that even adults don't know or haven't known about until 5 minutes ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of instances of it. Disney, I think there was the Transformers cartoon recently, where they were, you know, talking about being non-binary. It's just like being shoved in everyone's faces so often now. And it's sad because I think for a lot of kids, you know, they're so impressionable and they're not asking for it, but when they're constantly seeing this in their programs, they're constantly hearing about it at school. You know, their teachers are now discussing it. They're on TikTok or whatever social media form they use. And it's being, you know, once you hit that algorithm and you're constantly now seeing stuff about transgenders or, you know, I don't know, just being gay or non-binary or being a furry or all these weird like things that are happening right now. Kids are like getting it into their minds and then thinking, oh, well, you know, if I like to play with a doll, let's say, maybe I'm supposed to be a girl when really it's like, no, maybe you just like to play with dolls. Maybe one day you're going to grow up to be the biggest doll maker in the world and you'll be the most masculine man to ever do it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think there's so much confusion now and it's not easy being a kid. Like, you're already going through so much emotionally. And like when puberty hits, you're like, what, you know, what's going on inside my body? You don't even know what's happening. And to have all of these weird thoughts being introduced by people you trust, you know, when you watch a Disney movie, you think, okay, this is Disney. I can trust this. This is my teacher. I can trust what they say. You know, my parents, like there's a lot of parents who seem to even be force feeding it to their own kids, which is the scariest thing of all.
Close this out in a second here, Charlie. Don't answer, but I'm going to give you a moment to think about this one. The best sports movie of all time and why? Hold that thought for a second, though, because there's only one correct answer as far as I'm concerned. When your computer craps out on you, when it fails to turn on one morning, are you going to be prepared? Not in a way like there's a backup laptop somewhere ready to be unpacked. No, I mean prepared to immediately reconnect with all the data on your defunct computer. That's the most important part. Having your computer data backed up regularly and easily accessible is the most important thing. There's not a company that makes that more convenient for you than iDrive. They provide you with 24/7 access to your data that you've backed up and stored on iDrive servers. You can back up what's on your computer with iDrive once a day, 10 times a day, whatever you need. With iDrive, you can back up all of your PCs, Mac servers, and mobile devices into one account for one cost. Not to mention, iDrive is PC Mag's winner 8 years in a row for the best cloud backup solution for everyone, consumers and businesses. iDrive, the easiest, most secure backup cloud solution. Plans start at less than $7 a month. Go to iDrive.com. Use my name, Buck, as the promo code at checkout for 90% off. That's iDrive.com. Promo code Buck for 90% off your first year. All right, Charlie, the best sports movie of all time is...
Remember the Titans.
Solid. I was hoping that I'd be able to throw some mockery your way, you know?
I actually have one that you could throw mockery at because I really love Love and Basketball also. But I was juggling them. You love that one too?
I haven't even seen it. I don't even know what that is.
Oh my gosh, good. But it's a little more, it has a little bit more of like a romance aspect.
Yeah, so that's
to it.
That's with the wifey, right? I got to watch that with the wife. That one.
Yeah. It's great. But Remember the Titans. I mean, I'm obsessed with Denzel Washington. He's fantastic in every movie he's ever in. And it just has, I like it. It has like a nice little, you know, character building moral to the story. So, yeah. You know, I it always Denzel, me up. Good soundtrack.
I think Denzel Washington is one of the finest living actors. So I'd agree with you on that front. I would also, though, say I think Major League is the best sports movie of all time. And you've never seen it?
Never seen it.
This is an outrage. You're an ESPN.
Well, listen, I have to admit, like in most people, like, you know, if you know me, you know, I didn't grow up with baseball. So I've never really been a baseball fan. And that continues till this day. Don't know much about baseball. The only reason I'm going to a baseball game is to get a tan and drink a beer and eat a hot dog.
What is sport number one for you then? Like, what is the sport you love the most to watch?
NFL.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
So I'm gonna add Major League to my list, though, and then I'm going to report back.
I got to say the best football, because usually people say when a lot of people I've talked to say, they always say Rudy. And this, I'm like, he wasn't even that good. He got on the team for like 5 seconds. He did one play. You know, it's a story of, you know, I don't know. The kid probably should have studied a little bit more. If you look, I think later on he ran into some problems in life. Like, it's not that important to get one. I don't know. And all the Notre Dame fans, whoever they are watching this, probably hate me for this. But I just like, I enjoyed the movie, but I was always like, meh, kind of much ado about nothing. It's not like a story about excellence. It's about perseverance for something that doesn't really, it didn't cure cancer. All right. I know. I'm just trying to troll people now, I guess. But I didn't think Rudy was really that.
I'm with you. It's not on my Mount Rushmore. So
yeah, it's just not on my. I don't see it. Oh, I love Rudy so much. You know, Rudy. My best football show is clearly Friday Night Lights for me, at least. I love Friday Night Lights, which I assume you would probably like too. Best? What would you have? What's the best football movie?
Well, Remember the Titans is football, but
I forgot. Remember the Titans. There you go. That will. I was just trying to think of football movies. Because I was thinking, I was like, there's any given Varsity Sunday. Varsity Blues. I did like that very much. It felt like a little bit of a ripoff of. It's a little bit of a ripoff of Friday Night Lights, the book.
Yeah, it was like just a little bit more of like a trendy, like, you know, you throw in like the popular guy at the time, James Van Der Beek, you know, a little whipped cream here and there, you know.
I remember that was a great movie, and I very much enjoyed it. All right, Charlie Arnold, which makes me so happy that I'm the one who says it properly. Woo! Where can everyone go to see your great stuff, both on Outkick over at Fox and on Fox News proper?
Okay, so on Outkick, I'm going to be guest hosting Hot Mike several times throughout the month. This Friday is the first of them, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. So I'll be filling in there. Otherwise, you just catch me here and there. I'll be on Don't At Me with Dan Dockich, you know, once a week. So until the show launches in August, that's the plan. Just get me plugged in wherever I can. And then as far as Fox goes, you don't know when I'm going to pop up. I'll be on Hannity a couple times this week. I'll be on Fox Business a few times. So yeah, it's really just luck of the draw. Turn on the TV, see if you spot me.
There you go, everybody. Look for Charlie on Arnold, Charlie on Fox, Charlie Arnold, and also Outkick. So check it out. Charlie, thanks so much.
And then on social media, Charlie on TV.
Charlie on TV. Go find her on the social media. Charlie, thank you so much for being with us.
Buck, thank you so much.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.